Major League Baseball is in a lockout with its Players Association, but that isn't stopping us from talking about Milwaukee Brewers baseball. The lockout comes as Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel beat reporter Tom Haudricourt plans to retire at the beginning of March. He's leaving the gig after covering the Brewers for over 35 years, so we wanted to have him on to get his best stories and memories from a long and decorated career. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been a devoted Brewers fan for the last few decades? Do you have a high or low point to share? Do you have questions for Tom about the Brewers over that span of history? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Tom Haudricourt is a Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter for another week or two for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. Tom, congratulations on retirement and welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Rob. It's hard to get my brain wrapped around the end of 36 years covering the Brewers, but it's coming up fast now.
Well, I guess Major League Baseball is having the same problem. Looks like they don't want to go on without you.
Yeah, somebody told me that, you know, the baseball's protesting my retirement by locking I am not going to suggest that that has anything to do with it. I don't think they really know or care that I'm retiring. But it is odd, though, isn't it? I mean, because we had had 26 years of labor peace. We had not had any type of labor stoppage since 1994, 95. I'm sure people remember that disastrous strike that led to the cancellation of the 94 World Series. And so then we had gone into a long period of labor peace. And I think the game was better for it. Everybody was better for it. And, you know, if you're a young fan, like in your 20s, you have never experienced this before. And you're probably wondering what the heck's going on here.
Now, you were from Virginia originally. You came to Milwaukee. Did you know you're coming in for the long haul?
I did not. You know, when I was offered the Brewers beat at the old Milwaukee Sentinel, remember that there used to be two newspapers in Milwaukee, the Sentinel, the morning paper, and then the Journal, the evening paper. When I came here in 1985, actually during the season, the Sentinel lost their beat writer during the season and needed a replacement. And they contacted me and I came and, no, it's there was a brief period in 2002 and 3 when I was in New York and I covered the Yankees for the Bergen Record. But that was because my wife was offered a job there that ended up closing down after 9/11. And so we ended up coming back. So we did have that brief little interlude. But no, it's this has been Milwaukee's been my home for most of my adult life and almost all of my married life. And so we're going to move back to Virginia now, where both Trisha and I are from. And hopefully we'll still like it. It's been a long time since we've lived there.
Now, our producer went digging back through the archives of the old Milwaukee Sentinel. The oldest Tom Haudricourt byline he could find was September 16th of 1985. You wrote up a game recap, a complete game from Milwaukee. Milwaukee's pitcher, the Brewers, lost 4-2 to the Red Sox. I was going to do it as a quiz. I don't want to drop that on you. the legendary Jeff Sellers beat us, who pitched 4 years in the majors. What's your memory of your first complete game covering the Brewers?
Well, that would have been like about a month into my stint with the Sentinel, because I started like in mid-August. Well, I'll just tell you this. I do. When I started covering the Brewers for the Sentinel in 85, the Journal's beat writer was a man named Tom Flaherty, who had been there for some time and was there still for some time after that. I mean, and we became very good friends. But I do remember in 1985, after watching that team for about a week, turning to Tom Flaherty in the press box and said, this team was really in the World Series 3 years ago? What happened? You know, because by 85, they were in disarray, you know, total disarray. A lot of the players had gotten old, injured. You know, people thought that might be a dynasty type team. And they did. The 86 Brewers were in first place until like September. And then they fell apart. And Harvey Keene was actually fired, the manager, at the end of that year, the manager that led them to the World Series the year before. So that was probably a very good indication of the old adage, what have you done for me lately? and baseball certainly is true on that account. But yeah, it was some tough times there for some of the 80s. But I'll tell you one thing, though. One of my favorite years I've ever covered them was just 2 years later, 1987, the team that became known as Team Streak. They started 13-0, which was a record. The Milwaukee was pitching no-hitter. Rob Deere had that famous Easter Sunday home run. And then Paul Molitor later in the year had a 39-game hitting streak. That team did not go to the postseason, Rob. If they had the wild card back then, they might have. I'd have to check. But for a non-playoff team, it was about as thrilling a ride as you could have, a real roller coaster. They won their first 13 games, and not long after that, they lost 12 in a row. And it's not easy to win 13 in a row and lose 12 in a row all in the same season, much less the same, first couple of months. So that was a crazy ride, but man, that was a fun team to cover.
Well, we've got Bob Uecker's call of that very Easter Sunday 1987 game you were just talking about, calling a game tying and then a game winning, spoiler alert, home run.
Here's the pitch. A curveball! Drilled to deep left! Going to get way, way, way out of here and gone for Deer! And they have tied it at four! Whoa, whoa! 3-2, two outs, 4-4, ninth inning. Gantner, there he goes. The pitch, a swing and a fly ball, right field and deep. Get up and get out of here! Gone for Swain! Two-run blast by Swaim to win it. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. Do you believe it?
All right, Tom. Now, the careful listener will note that Bob Uecker shows subtle signs of excitement at some points in a game. What's it like for you and your colleagues in the press box? Are you freaking out at moments like this, or are you just kind of nodding along, I don't know, chomping your cigar? I don't know what's going on in there.
Well, let me tell you, Rob, let me tell you a funny story about that moment that Deer hit that home run. So that was back before cell phones, right? We didn't have personal phones back in 1987. So we had just a desk phone on the counter in the press box. The Sentinel had its own line, telephone line there. And so right as Deer steps to the plate, that phone rings. And I say to myself, who in the heck is calling at this point of the game? And so I answer the phone. It's my wife, Trish. And she calls, and I don't know where she was. She obviously was not home watching it. She must have been away from home. But she said, what's going on? Are they going to win? Are they going to win their 12th round? And I said, no, Trish, they're going to lose. They're losing by 3 runs here in the ninth inning. And no sooner did that come out of my mouth than Deer hit that home run. And I hung up on my wife without telling her what happened.
We're talking to Tom Hodricourt, the still married Tom Hodricourt, I understand, a Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, retiring at the beginning of next month after 3+ decades. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question for Tom about the Brewers, their history, his reporting. 800-642-1234 is the number. Okay, some high points there in 85 and 87, Tom. And then, what was it like to be a Brewers reporter in, I don't know, an extended drought?
Yeah, and the 90s were not kind to the Brewers, Rob. Besides the strike, and they were having a fight over the stadium too. And in 92, Phil Garner's first year, they won 92 games, I believe, and that was a crazy running team. They stole a whole bunch of bases. Phil Garner brought a National League style to the American League. And the Brewers just ran teams crazy, set a record for stolen bases. And the Pat Listecher was rookie of the year and stole 54 bases. But then after that, man, the team went into the deep, dark wilderness. And there was 12 consecutive losing seasons after that and 14 consecutive seasons without a winning record. There was one 500 record in there. And then they finally broke through in 2008. I'll give you a little spoiler alert. I've written a column on my 10 most favorite seasons to cover of the 36 I've covered with the Brewers for the Journal Sentinel. And it's a column that it might be running this Sunday. I'm not sure. It's one of my farewell columns. And I'll just give you a spoiler alert. The number one was the 2008 season when they finally broke through after 26 years without making the playoffs. And on the last day of the season, CC Sabathia pitched and they beat the Cubs. And then everybody stayed in the stadium because the Brewers needed to see what the Mets were going to do against the Marlins at home. If the Mets won, they'd tie for the wild card and have a one-game playoff in New York. If the Mets lost, the Brewers were in. And so the Brewers win, and there's a brief celebration on the field. Then everybody just hangs there. The whole crowd stayed at Miller Park. I was stunned at that. And they played the Marlins game up on the big board. And then they lost, and the Brewers, the Marlins beat the Mets. The Mets lost. The Brewers were in, and then the wild celebration started. And it was crazy. It was, you know, it'd been a long time since they had celebrated in Milwaukee, the baseball team, and the first time at Miller Park, what was then Miller Park. And so anybody who was there that day when Sabathia pitched that great game, Braun hit a big two-run homer late. And plus it was the Cubs, you know, Brewers fans always love beating the Cubs. And so, but that, I put that down as my favorite season ever to cover. The historic nature of it was tremendous because I'll be honest with you, Rob, there was a time as the millennium came along where A, I wondered if I would live long enough to see the Brewers make the playoffs, and B, if I would stay employed long enough to see the Brewers make the playoffs. And we finally got to see it. And then, you know, there's been I consider this the golden age of Brewers baseball right now. They've been in the playoffs a lot since then, including the last 4 years.
We're talking to retiring Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers reporter Tom Hodricourt about his 35-plus years covering the team. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. What do you remember about the Brewers of the late 80s and 90s, or do you try not to remember some of those years? Do you have a favorite moment, a favorite season, memory from County Stadium? How do those years shape your Brewers fandom? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our look back the last 35 years of Brewers baseball with retiring Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter Tom Hodricourt. You can join in if you have a question for Tom, a favorite Brewers memory to share at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You were just talking, Tom, about that 2008 game when Milwaukee clinched it with a little help, a playoff spot with a little help later. Let's hear the Brian Anderson broadcast of the double play that ended the game.
On the ground, a chance here. Durham to Hardy to first. In time!
Yes!
The Brewers win!
Yes!
Sabathia, a complete game! And the Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1. Wow. Raise a glass, Milwaukee!
What a game!
Now, Milwaukee has been a contender lately, Tom. The Brewers ending up at the playoffs a lot, still hoping for that World Series. But what's it been like? How's it been different covering a pretty successful team compared to some of those doldrums?
Yeah, it's been, as I said before the break, I consider this, Rob, the golden age of Brewers baseball. They had only once before gone to the playoffs, two straight years in 81 and 82, until recently, and now they've gone four straight years, and there's good reason to think they'll be a playoff team again this year, assuming the lockout ends, because they have probably what I think is their best pitching staff ever, returning almost intact from last year when they won the division. It's really interesting. For years they were an offensive team. Now last year they became a pitching team, and they figure to be a pitching team again in 2022. And so this is, you know, Brewers fans, I know they want to get to that World Series, and that's the goal every year. And they had the pitching to do it last year. Their offense just faltered at the end. But this is, you know, especially in a market like this where it's tough to be consistently good, to be in the playoffs four straight years, it shows you this group of decision makers has been making a lot of smart moves.
I want to talk about covering the Brewers now. You've written a lot of stories, a lot of kinds of stories. Is there a type of story you feel you've been really proud of writing, a particular angle that you've covered for the team over the years?
Well, when you're a beat writer, you get bogged down sometimes in the daily minutia. You know, baseball is the only sport that plays every day, and so you're just really the daily coverage can really bog you down at times. So when you're able to dig a little deeper and do some personal side stuff or do some analytical stuff, you know, that's when it gets fun. I did something breaking down Christian Yelich's swing a few years ago, that why did he become such a good power hitter? And then kind of did something almost at the other end of that spectrum recently when he struggled on offense, just what it was that was going wrong for him at the plate. So when you get to dig a little deeper into what we could, you know, what a lot of people call inside baseball, that's when it can be fun, because you oftentimes you're just with the daily news, you're bogged down with that. But one thing I will say though, Rob, is, you know, with all of the modern day analytics and data, you can drown in numbers right now if you let yourself. It's the game is being dissected 10 ways to Tuesday now. They have more data and analytical information, statistical information than they've ever had. And so I try to keep what I call the romance of the game still in there a little bit. But there's no question, sometimes in the last few years, baseball has seemed a little bit like math class. And I don't know about you, but math class was not my favorite class in school.
You've talked to a lot of Brewers players and coaches over the years. Can you name some names on ones that were particularly fun or lively or good interviews for you?
Well, it's just, you know, so many. I'll just say I've never had a relationship with a manager like I have with the current manager, Craig Counsell. And here's why. I've known him since he was a kid. His dad, John, worked in the front office when I started covering the Brewers in the 80s. And Craig would go around, you know, you'd see him in his little league uniform and run around. And I mean, who wouldn't want to come out to the ballpark where his dad worked, you know, when you're a young kid that loves baseball? And in our Journal Sentinel photo book, turning 50, the 50th anniversary book we put out a couple of years ago, it's mostly a photo book, but I wrote the copy for it. There's a photo in there of Craig Counsell as a young teenager, in his little league uniform, holding some kind of trophy, and I think he's flanked by like Raleigh Fingers and Deion James. Pete, you know, it's kind of a weird photo, but. And so I knew him when he was a kid. Then he, you know, he played at Whitefish Bay High School, and then he went off to Notre Dame. You kind of lost track of him. And then all of a sudden he pops back up in the majors. And I told him he's a lot like Forrest Gump, because he's been in all the right places at the right times. He scored the winning run in the 97 World Series for the Florida Marlins, game 7, was in the winning rally for the Diamondbacks in 2001, game 7 against the Yankees. And then he came to Milwaukee and finished his career as a player. So I covered him as a player as well. And then he became manager. So I've been covering him as a manager. So, you know, if familiarity does breed contempt, he would have a lot of contempt for me, I think. But, I don't know if he's happy to see me go. We have a good relationship. And we recently, you know, had coffee together and talked about all the years and where did they all go, you know, for both him and me. But that's a very unique relationship to basically know a manager almost his entire life.
All right, I want to paint you a picture, Tom. You're in Virginia, you're in retirement, you turn on the TV and watch a baseball game, and there's not a deadline hanging over your head. Can you imagine that? What's that going to be like?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I have that all figured out, because I don't. I do think that you can't do something as long as I've done it and not miss it when you stop doing it, right? So I'm sure, you know, my head's been spinning lately, because we got a lot of things going on with getting ready to, you know, sell a house and move to Virginia and retirement coming next week and just all kinds of things like that. So there's been a lot of details to attend to that have kind of kept my mind off of it. But, you know, when they start playing again this year, and I'm not there, you know, it's going to be impossible not to think about that. You know, under normal times, I'd be in Phoenix right now if there was spring training and if I was not retiring. But I am retiring, and right now there is no spring training because of the lockout. So everything seems a little out of whack right now, Rob. But, you know, give me a call in 2 months and I'll tell you how I'm doing.
In just our last minute, Tom, is there something special about, you know, a pro sports team in a, you know, not one of your larger markets, a Green Bay or a Milwaukee?
Well, I can just tell you, it's been a pleasure to cover the Brewers. They've been so media friendly. I mean, for just from top to bottom, Mark Attanasio, first Doug Melvin, and then David Stearns, you know, Craig Counsell, we just talked about, the media relations staff, Mike Fasalo and Andrew Grumman. I mean, they've just been so much fun and so easy to cover because they've been so media friendly. And I don't think it's exactly like that in every market, but I think, you know, Milwaukee is a little bit of a tight-knit community. You know, there's a lot of people who have been here their whole lives, people like Bud Selig and Bob Uecker and just on and on. So it's just been a privilege and a pleasure, and they sure have made my job easy. And I'm very thankful for that and very grateful for that.
Well, Tom, thanks for joining us. Good luck in your last couple of columns and enjoy retirement.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate you having me on.
Tom Hodricourt is a Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was with us today looking back on his 35 years of covering the Brewers as he gets ready for retirement next month.